At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Poetry in Motion podcast on the Blood Red Channel with Neil Fitzmaurice, bringing you all the big news and even bigger views on Liverpool FC.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Poetry in Motion. It's been a while, but we are back. And I am joined today by Beth Lindup. How are you, Beth?
Yeah, good, thanks, Fitzy. I've had the leggy all of this.
The leggy has spread to your computer. Just while Beth is sorting, Beth's technical problems with online leggy. We shall welcome our other guest, Joe Rimmer. How are you, Joe?
Not too bad, but Beth's computer's got the virus as well.
Thanks,
yeah, I'm all right.
Good man.
She's back. Beth.
I'm back. Sorry, I had a little technical error there, but yeah, I'm hopefully me and my computer will get through this one. Okay.
Excellent. No problem. It'll be the first time I've stumbled through one of these, so don't worry about that. All right, let's talk all things Liverpool. It's good to know that you are both good and healthy and fine. And everyone listening, hope you're all well. Thank you for downloading this once again and all the other podcasts as well. It really, really is appreciated. If we'd have said just coming up to Christmas we'd be top of the league, we would have bitten your hand off, Joe Rimmer. But such is the form of Liverpool at the moment. You know, it's been one of them dogged starts to the season, hasn't it? Dogged, you know, getting jobs done. Not necessarily, you know, 25 chances a game. Not necessarily the spectacular form that we had, you know, with the Mane and Firmino and Salah and that midfield, which seemed to be, you know, dynamic and swashbuckling. This is more sort of socks rolled up, industrial, but still getting the job done, Joe, and still, and the facts don't lie, we are top of the league at the moment.
That's absolutely it. I mean, I think people always, you look back on like the title winning season, don't you, and think that they were swashbuckling all the time. And I think you forget, I mean, Sheffield United is a good reference point, isn't it? Because that game the other day absolutely stunk, didn't it, as a spectacle. But Liverpool got the job done. They got 3 points and they'll be pleased to get out of it. And if you look back at the year they won the title, I think they won 1-0 there with a really scrappy goal from Wijnaldum, which I think was deflected. So I think especially away at some of those teams, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace is always one. I can't really remember many times, or at the 7-0 in the pandemic aside, I can't remember many times when they've gone down there and really put together a sparkling performance. But you've just got to go into them. You've got to get through the atmosphere. You've got to get through the challenges. You've got to get through conceding goals and chances and win the game. And I think one of the most impressive things about Liverpool this season is we've seen every side of them, haven't we? We've seen them sparkle. We've seen them come from behind. We've seen them sort of defend. We've seen them attack. And now we've seen them dig in and get these scrappy results. And, you know, I'm pretty sure some of their rivals will be looking Man City, you know, and I'm sure they'll click into gear next year. But, you know, I'm sure they'll be looking at Liverpool and saying, we wish we'd have scrapped through some of these games recently and got the points. So it's not always about the performances. And I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool play far better against Man United and Arsenal in the next two games than they have done against Sheffield United and Crystal Palace, because, you know, that those games, there'll be more space to play. That those teams will come to play a little bit more and try to beat Liverpool. So I think they'll be better spectacles. But yeah, can't complain this season. And don't forget as well, I think a lot of people are overlooking the fact that Liverpool got some bad injuries to some key players. And there's a lot made of injuries to Arsenal, to Man United, to City. But Andy Robertson hasn't played now for over a month. Thiago's not played not kicked a football this season. Even Stefan Bissasic, well, he's played one Europa League game. And obviously Jota's been injured. Now they're going to go into games without McAllister. Matip's going to be out for the season. So they've got some bad injuries and they've scrapped their way through. So they deserve a lot of credit. And, you know, I think we can look forward to this next run of games with a lot of positivity, because Liverpool are showing that they've got a bit of strength of character this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the Wijnaldum goal you're talking about. I think the keeper spilled it, didn't it? It went under the keeper and went over the man.
That was it, yeah, yeah.
Well needed.
He clawed it, didn't he?
He clawed it. And but then again, it's a great point, Beth, that Joe makes. You forget about those ones, don't you? And you think about the swashbuckling stuff. And it's easy to put them all into a nice bite-sized clip on Twitter, isn't it? And see how wonderfully the back heels were and stuff. But there was still a lot of goals that we really, really had to scrap for. Henderson coming off the bench and smashing one in there in the last few minutes as well. You know, there was a lot where we were coming from behind or coming from a draw situation. And that shows a lot of strength of character, doesn't it? And it shows that Liverpool are ready for anything. And more of a plan B possibly as well now with the introduction 60, 70 minutes into games to seem a bit stale. You've got that kind of, you know, it's been Harvey Elliott, the mainstay, but you've had Gakpo joining them. And it just seems to bewilder teams that have set out a game plan for 90 minutes. And 70 minutes in, you've got someone running between the lines. It just seems to be creating a lot of chances, Beth, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Klopp said himself, actually, after that Sheffield United game, you know, if we're only going to win the games that we play fantastically well, we'd only win probably five or six games a season. And I think that is very much true. I think to win a title, you've got to be able to win ugly and to win in a variety of different ways. And like you say, I think the fact that Liverpool now have such a well-stocked squad at their disposal. Obviously, we have got injuries at the moment, and you imagine over this busy festive period, unfortunately, we might end up losing one or two more. But, you know, the players that Liverpool have been able to call on off the bench, I actually think when you look back now at the players that they've got and the players that they had in the title-winning season and the season that they won the Champions League, I think Liverpool's squad looks perhaps stronger than it has in a really long time. When you look at players who, you know, the players sat on the bench, a lot of them would be starting for a lot of other teams, you feel. And, you know, of course, we had Divock Origi and Minamino and players who came on and did actually score some big goals for Liverpool. But in terms of across a 38-game season in the Premier League, maybe didn't contribute, you know, as much in terms of felt like they could always impact a game or change a game. Whereas I think, you know, this season, that there's so many players who you feel can come on and affect the game. And Harvey Elliott has obviously been the epitome of that, hasn't he? And, you know, I was obviously looking back at the Europa League game last night. I was slightly disappointed with Harvey Elliott. I think, you know, there's not too much. I don't think you can sort of judge anyone too harshly for that performance last night. It was a much changed team. Obviously, the job was already done. But I think with Harvey Elliott, I know he has said this season he doesn't want to be a super sub. He wants to be the sort of player that's starting every game. But I think he has thrived far more coming off the bench than he has when he started games. But yeah, it's Liverpool's, it's one of their greatest strengths at the moment that they do have that such a high calibre of player to be able to call on off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, there will be times, obviously, when Elliott is required from the start, but he just seems to, I mean, it must be very frustrating for him in many ways. I've called David Fairclough super sub, see how it goes down. Because, you know, it was thing that he was proud, David Fairclough was immensely proud of, but also very, very frustrated with the fact that super sub is the moniker that he left with. But, you know, the facts are that Harvey Elliott has been changing things. Joe, we've had this situation, haven't we, at Liverpool, where we can play expansive football when we're playing against teams that want to play that as well, and it creates spaces. But a majority, you know, you go outside the top eight or nine teams in this league, you are facing teams who are going to get 10 behind the ball. They've got different wage structures. They've got different budgets. Most of them are trying to survive. And Liverpool have struggled, I think, for many years now, being able to deal with that 10 behind the ball, haven't they? And you know, seasons past, they've just been belting down the wings, haven't they, Robbo and Trent, and just knocking balls into areas where there's seven or eight of their defenders to one of ours. It just seems, and I hope I'm touching wood as I speak, but it just seems that lately, with that, the idea of getting Harvey Elliott, who's very, very industrious, very quick, very, very snappy at the heels, isn't he? For certainly for short periods of time. It just seems to be working very, very nicely for Liverpool as a plan B, doesn't it? Gakpo being the other one as well. They just seem to, they give teams a completely different set of worries, don't they? And so far, it's provided a winning position. About 18 points, I think, from losing positions, isn't it? They're the best in the league for it. So feels like there is sort of a plan B to hang your hat on now.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, and that is the challenge for Elliott, isn't it? I think he seems to be at his best when you say when teams drop deeper and deeper during the course of a game. You know, I think Wolves is a good example, and then Palace last weekend. He seems to be able to find little pockets of space. He seems to work little chances, and he also can shoot from range. And I suppose one thing Liverpool didn't have, with the exception of maybe one or two brilliant Fabinho goals, was when they had that title-winning team, they didn't have players in midfield who shot a lot from range. Whereas I feel like they've got that a bit more now with Elliott and Szoboszlai in particular. Obviously, Oxlade-Chamberlain was the man for that, wasn't he, during that time, but he suffered a lot of injuries. So I think Elliott is good at unpicking those defences, but I suppose for him the flip side of that is from the start when the game is a bit more stretched, I don't think he's quite as influential. So, you know, I think last night, Beth's right, slightly disappointing to not see him to get on the ball more and to dominate a little bit more and to make things happen a bit more. And I think Klopp did challenge him to do that in the press conference before the game, but we didn't quite see that from him. But he's a great option to have off the bench. And Liverpool have got good options, haven't they, with him and Jota, the forward line. You can rotate till your heart's content, really, can't you, when they're all fit and you have different options there. But yeah, Elliott's been one that for a while I sort of debate with other members of our team about, because I really like him as a footballer. I think he's got great ability. I think he's got a great attitude. Really seems like a really bright young lad who applies himself. Seems very down to earth. But at Liverpool, I think he'd get into a lot of other teams in the league. But at Liverpool, I think he just don't know where his position is. I don't think he's a winger. And I think when he's playing in midfield, he's got to be more influential from the start. And I'm not necessarily seeing that from him a lot. So him finding a long-term position, I think, will be interesting. But he's a great option to have. He's definitely been very good coming off the bench this season. And Liverpool are going to need that a lot if they're going to stay at the top of the table and challenge for big prizes, because they're going to have to find a way past, like you say, Fitzy, those teams that sit deep. Because the better Liverpool become, I think the more teams will not fancy their chances against Liverpool, and the more we'll see teams dig in and sit deep. And you know, actually, you know, I said before they might be more expansive, but I think Man United will probably try and do that a bit at the weekend.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, Beth, United at the weekend come to us as a, I mean, they're on different strategies and on different stratospheres at the moment, is what I meant to say. Different trajectories. Liverpool, you know, flying high, digging in, getting stuck in as a squad and playing as a team. United are bewildered, aren't they? United are, you know, a team of individuals down in tools at the moment, and with a lot of injuries, and of course Fernandez missing because of his yellow card. It's probably one of the more comfortable I've ever felt going to United game, and that's always dangerous, isn't it? Because you know, derbies, United games, they can flip up anything, can't they? But just picking up on what Joe said, Beth, I mean, I find that one person that seems to benefit from Harvey Elliott is Mo Salah. He seems to be excited when he comes on because he links up quite well on the right there, doesn't he? And again, it's what Joe says. It's trying to find a position that Harvey Elliott can maintain during the 90 minutes of a game. Just at the moment, he's very much stamping his authority on that, just in between the midfield and Salah, and bringing Salah into the game. And he certainly seems to enjoy playing with him, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think since he came to the club, actually, Harvey Elliott has been very vocal about how much of an influence Mo Salah has been for him. And it was really nice, actually, after that Palace game last week, they did an interview together and both were very complimentary about each other. And just nice from a human perspective, obviously, to see that level of camaraderie within the squad and the fact, you know, I mean, any young player could benefit from playing alongside and learning from Mohamed Salah, couldn't they? And yeah, I think they definitely have a real connection on the pitch as well. And Harvey Elliott actually played really well. I think he started that 7-0, didn't he, against United last season? Or certainly he got the assist, didn't he, for one of the goals? And, you know, obviously I'm sure he'd be chomping at the bit to get on the pitch on Sunday. But yeah, going back to what you said, Fitzy, I'm like you in the sense that I feel quite confident in a lot of ways when you look at the forms of the two sides going into this one. But that in turn makes me feel quite anxious because I think, well, United have got nothing to lose. Absolutely no one is expecting them to get anything on Sunday. They are, you know, obviously Liverpool have had their injuries, but to be fair to United, they have probably struggled, you know, perhaps more than anyone else in the league alongside Newcastle maybe. And, you know, they've had a rotten week, obviously, going out of Europe, losing to Bournemouth. And yeah, the expectation will be completely on Liverpool. And I imagine United will probably just look to get as many men behind the ball as possible and hit Liverpool on the break. And we've seen, as good as Liverpool have been this season, that they can still be quite vulnerable on the counter-attack. So they'll still have to put in a strong performance. And, I hope I'm wrong, but I very much doubt it will be another sort of 7-0 job. I think it will be far more closely fought affair. And I'm just hopeful that Liverpool don't sort of buy into their own hype ahead of this one, because it will be some way to sort of come back down to earth, wouldn't it, if Manchester United get something on Sunday at Anfield.
Yeah, absolutely. You started that by saying Manchester United are going not to lose. They may have a manager to lose before too long. I mean, Liverpool have an uncanny reputation, don't they, Joe, for getting rid of Man United managers just after a game against Liverpool. I mean, Ten Hag cuts a lonely figure, doesn't he, there on his own there. And you've got to say, I don't want to make this about them, so we'll wrap it up very briefly, but it's quite nice to wallow sometimes, isn't it? He's in a lot of trouble, isn't he? And the whole team, isn't it? The whole structure of that place that we've all, and certainly my generation, watched hammering people week in, week out. Interesting to see the old castle crumbling. And they are a beleaguered side with a manager who's hanging on by his Ten Hag fingertips, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the 90s, Neil, so I love nothing more than talking about Man United's problems. It's weird, this game, because I feel like my mindset going into it is it's almost like a derby. You know, in derbies where Everton would come to Anfield and you think, we should beat these, we're a better team. But for all that, you just know it's a derby. So there's something, you don't go in with supreme confidence. And it's the same with this, really. I think they're not a good team. They've got a lot of injury problems. They're in a very low ebb. But it is Man United. And there's that little bit of jeopardy, isn't there? But I just find it remarkable that the clubs have, like, they've, like, role reversed from when I was sort of, like, when I was, like, a teenager. You know, Liverpool would have one year where you'd think, right, we've got to ourselves. We've got to second under Hulé or whatever, and under Evans, and you'd think, you know, we're a force again now, and everyone would get excited. And then next season, they were back down to fourth, fifth, sixth, and it was all falling apart, and everyone was laughing at us. And then Liverpool got their act together, and United have just got, since Ferguson left, have gone the opposite way. And yeah, you know, I mean, before the 7-0 last year, people were talking about United as if they were a force again, Ten Hag. I mean, I know they won the League Cup, but I felt like people were getting carried away. And I always felt Liverpool were the better team. They were just in a bad state with injuries and with players sort of coming to a point in their careers when they needed to be moved on. And I went into the season so confident that Liverpool would be a far better team than United. I didn't think they would be this bad, but I mean, Ten Hag does look on borrowed time, and Liverpool really need to, like, I think Beth's right, they can't be overconfident, but they need to be confident that they can expose this team, because they are not a good team. And, you know, I think, hopefully, it is in the back of their mind that they've cost managers their jobs at United, because they can really turn the screw and make their miserable week even more miserable, which would make us all happy at this lovely Christmas time, wouldn't it?
You couldn't have put that better if you'd have wrapped it up and put a little card on it saying too fitty.
Do you know, Dan Kay once said to me that United are like, I think he said, they're like a vampire, and you have to drive the stake into their heart until they're fully dead. So let's hope that we'll do that to Ten Hag at the weekend.
Words of wisdom from the wonderful Dan Kay. Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? It's I mean, of course, the massive irony of it is that there's only one manager who could go anywhere near trying to turn that club around from the inside out, and we've got him. They tried to get him, and he I think it was his quote was, "The whole place seemed a bit too Hollywood for me." And boy, was he right. Wage structure problems. Do people on sitting opposite someone who's on three times your wages? You know, you could just see all that crumbling, couldn't you? So long may that continue, and I absolutely hope it's an utter thrashing come the weekend. One thing we have to say, Beth, don't we? I mean, we're talking about Liverpool and how well they're doing, and it's no coincidence that a couple of seasons ago, you know, Klopp signed two players that made Liverpool a team they are, didn't he? Let's face it. I mean, obviously, Salah aside, the two main purchases that were made were Van Dijk and Alisson. And these two once again are in scintillating form, aren't they? You can really see Van Dijk is starting to play with that. You know, he was always very rarely out of second gear kind of player. When he went through that injury, and then he came back from it, and you could see him sweating and running and almost trying too hard. He seems to have eased back into that role of just that nonchalant kind of incredible level above defender, doesn't he? Again. Yeah, there are times, of course, we run a high line, and there are times when teams counter, that's what they're set up for. But there just seems to be, he did something in a game recently where he went to hit the ball and he just backflicked it to a player. And you just think he's back in his groove now, isn't he? And Alisson pulling off some absolute worldies again. And with them two at the spine of your team, you can't go far wrong, can you?
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, they've both been tremendous, probably Liverpool's best players this season, really. And I think you're spot on with Van Dijk, that word nonchalance. I think that sort of epitomises how he's been this season. And when I think of him at his very, very peak a couple of years back, you know, the enduring image is just him sort of, that look of disdain he'd almost give attackers when they'd try and take him on. And it was almost sort of like, you know, how have you got the audacity to try and take me on? And he just seems to sort of swat everyone aside so easily. And he's sort of reverted back to that a little bit now. And, you know, he is a slightly different player to who he was before the injury. But also, you know, he's obviously older as well. And as you get older, you lose a little bit of pace and you have to adapt your game slightly. And I think Van Dijk's sort of biggest asset has always been sort of his intelligence, his way that he's read the game, and he's always sort of been in the right place at the right time. And he lost that a little bit, I think, sort of coming back from the injury and then playing in a side that were struggling last season. But yeah, this season, it just seems like since he's got the armbands, he's just sort of gone from strength to strength, really, and Alisson behind him. I mean, you know, I dread the day that we lose Alisson Becker because, you know, he's certainly the greatest goalkeeper that I've seen in my lifetime. You know, I know that there have been some tremendous goalkeepers for Liverpool in the past, but, you know, I think he's one of the greatest ever, I really do. And, you know, we saw that again against Palace. He made a fantastic save, I think, from Lerma in the first half. And at the end again as well, he's just, I mean, I'm a big fan of Kevin Kelleher, and I do feel for him a little bit. He was probably thinking he might have had a slightly longer run in the team than he did in the end. But I think you watch his performances, and as good as he is, and as much as I think he should probably, you know, next season move on, because he deserves to be a number one somewhere else, I think, you know, it's chalk and cheese in terms of the quality that Alisson possesses and anyone else possesses, really. And you know, you look at Arsenal, and that's one of the reasons that I'm not too confident about Arsenal winning the league, because I think you look at the two goalkeepers they've got there in Aaron Ramsdale and David Raya, and neither of them massively convince me. And I just think, you know, when you compare that to Alisson, you know, he's on a different planet, I think, to most other goalkeepers in the league. And that's why I would really, really love Liverpool to go on and win something this season and hopefully win the league, because I think you look at some of the players that are still at the club, Mo Salah, Alisson Becker, Virgil van Dijk, And we think, you know, probably won't have them all together for too much longer, unfortunately. You know, they're all getting older. Mo Salah perhaps might move on elsewhere. And yeah, I'd just love them to be able to win something in front of the fans. And you know, I think they've been absolute legends for this football club. And I want them to win as much as possible while we've still got them.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, talking of another player who didn't cost us a penny, and it was one of Klopp's first signings to the club, Joel Matip. Unfortunately, he's done his ACL, and he so it's a goodbye for this season, I think. Klopp did hint at, and you don't know whether Klopp says this to try and force hands sometimes when he goes public with stuff, but he did say, didn't he? He said, I think it would only be right to offer him a contract, a year contract anyway, when he's all right again, because he deserves it. I mean, he does, doesn't he? He's been an incredible player for Liverpool, mate, and he's been one of them dependables. He's had his injury problems, but he's never really let us down, has he? He's had a couple of rough games over the years, but generally he's the person who you really depend on in any situations, and he just does that wonderful thing. And alongside Van Dijk, sometimes they've just been, it's just the calm versus the super calm, isn't it? And it's exactly what you need at the back there. So yeah, hopefully we get more out of him.
I think with Matip, he's one of those players that we won't fully appreciate until he is gone. Because, I mean, obviously as well, next to Van Dijk, a bit like Kelleher there with what Beth was saying, I think Kelleher is a really good goalkeeper. But you put him next to Van Dijk and you think, well, he's nowhere near. But that doesn't, you know, that nobody is really near Alisson in world football, only maybe Ederson. And it's the same really for Matip. I mean, he's a great centre-half, and he'd walk into most teams in the league. And you look at some of the problems. Look at the problems United have had at centre-back. You know, like Matip, I don't think you would ask, if you asked many Man United fans, would Matip get in your team? I don't think they would say he's a better player than Varane or maybe even Maguire, or who's the midget that they have at centre-half, that Carragher, Martinez. And I think most United fans wouldn't put him ahead of them. But he's been brilliant for Liverpool, and he would easily walk into some of these teams. So I think we have been spoiled in that regard. I'm not so sure about giving him a new contract. I suppose the big reason why you would is because you wouldn't want too much to turn over at centre-back next season. And if you bring in one more quality one, then having Matip for another season makes sense. But yeah, I mean, yeah, love the man. I also think the the sort of like the Matip sort of meme thing, you know, the what was it? What's it? The God, it's gone out of my head, the Twitter account. But that has almost made him, people don't take him as seriously enough as a footballer, and he's a brilliant centre half because he's a bit of a meme, he's a character, isn't he, and he's funny, but he's been a brilliant player for Liverpool. But just a quick mention for Jarrell Kwanzaa, who gave one of my favourite quotes from a Liverpool player recently, when he said last night, didn't he, that yeah, shame for Matip being injured for the season, but I was planning on being ahead of him this season anyway, so it's fine. And I love that attitude. It's fine. I don't think Joel Matip will mind that. And I think Kwanzaa really looks like he's got the attributes to be a top-class centre-half. I love the way he passes the ball. I think he passes with such style and pace. He's good in the air. He's got good pace. And if he just sort of keeps getting experience under his belt, I think he could feature in Liverpool's future for sure. So, you know, we'll only know over the course of a season, but Qantas seems to have a really high ceiling, put it that way.
Well, you'd always know, Beth, don't you, when Liverpool start introducing players at very young ages into Premiership games, and you always know that they hold a certain quality for them, don't they? They know the difference, don't they? You know, we've had players in the past, haven't we, that have skirted over the squads of Liverpool and never quite got there. Qantas gets thrown into Premier League games, and you just think, okay, this kid's clearly got something. And his goal last night was brilliantly took, wasn't it? You know, it was behind him on it, and he turns and smashes that into the roof of the net. There's definitely a future for Kwanzaa, isn't there, in this side? And then, of course, Konate as well. So without the Kwanzaa sort of, you know, without finding out about him, the discovery of Kwanzaa, it was a little bit worrying, wasn't it? But he seems to me like it won't be long before he's able to deputy any of them, really.
Yeah, I suppose as well, that's where you've got to give credit to Klopp and you know, Liverpool's recruitment team, in the sense that I think there were a lot of us over the summer that really felt that Liverpool had made a mistake not going out and getting another centre-half in. And, you know, I still, especially in light of Matip's injury, I would like for them to go and get someone in January, just purely because I think Joe Gomez and Ibrahima Konate, their injury records haven't been great, have they, the last few years. So You know, I would like to see Liverpool bolster the defensive area a little bit in January, but, you know, by not going and buying a centre-half over the summer, that's allowed Jarrell Kwanzaa to come through, and the manager and the staff at Liverpool have obviously seen something in him and felt that, you know, he was ready to make that step up. And I think, you know, you look at him in a team last night with a lot of young players and, you know, incredible experience for most of them. But you look at a lot of them and think, you know, they are still youth players. It's still maybe going to take them a little bit of time, maybe going on loan elsewhere before they're really sort of up to speed and could really, you know, play a part for the first team. But I think Jarrell Kwanzaa, there's not been once this season where I've thought that. I think he's looked every inch a senior player. Obviously, he'll have been frustrated against Palace to have given that penalty away. I thought it was, you know, slightly unlucky with that one. But aside from that, he's scarcely put a foot wrong. And yeah, I was delighted for him to get the goal, especially because he had one quite unfairly ruled out, didn't he, a few weeks ago in the Europa League as well. But a gorgeous finish. And yeah, I think he's got a very bright future ahead. I think Konate, I'm a huge fan of him. You know, I always think back to his performance against Madrid in the Champions League final, and he was the best player on the pitch probably in that game. And I think lately, you know, obviously his injuries have played a part, but I think his form has been a little bit more up and down. He's looked a little bit erratic at times. You know, he seems to always have a slightly dodgy yellow card in him at present, but we've seen him, you know, reach a very high level at Liverpool. I still think he's got another level to go, and hopefully now he can stay injury free for as long as possible and help Liverpool achieve something really special this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Let's move into the midfield. If there's one thing that just isn't the final article at the moment, yeah, it's been very, very difficult. Lost an entire midfield. Had to replace it. Endo, of course, McAllister. We've got loads of midfielders, let's be honest. We've got a plethora of midfielders. I feel like there's still a little bit of convincing that Klopp needs to do by Endo. And yet I think Endo has done that simple thing that a holding defensive midfielder has to do. And I think he does it really well. But there's just something about it, Joe, isn't there? Or is it just me? Where Klopp hasn't really been playing him in the Premiership. He played him against Palace and brought him off quite early. When, again, I don't think he was necessarily doing anything any worse than anyone else. But while that balance is like that, the transition from midfield to the front three is a lot slower, isn't it? And it's resulting in less chances per match, really, isn't it? But I know we're getting the job done, and I know where we are. You cannot argue with top of the league. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's you've got the square peg in a round hole of McAllister in that position, and yet you've got someone like Endo who naturally plays there. So why do you think Klopp is so reticent to play Endo, McAllister and Szoboszlai? Because he's only featured them once against Palace and changed it very quickly.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I must admit, I agree with you on Endo against Palace. I thought he was slightly unlucky to come off at half-time. I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? You know, we all watch different games sometimes. A lot of people were saying that Palace targeted him, and I think he is a little bit slow. Well, that's quite obvious. He's just off the pace, I think, a little bit for a Liverpool team, for a Premier League team like Liverpool. But like you say, I think he's done a fairly steady job so far this season. I don't think he's the long term. I think Liverpool are still going to have to invest there. Whether that's January, this might be unlikely, but certainly in the summer. But I would certainly play him against United, and I think he does offer you a fairly sensible option. I think sometimes he's just a little bit out-muscled. He was out-muscled once or twice last night, and you thought, you know, he just needs to control it and release it a bit quicker. But, yeah, Klopp, I think, just seems a little bit reluctant to play him, and I think that he played McAllister for a long time in that role, sort of told you what you need to know about maybe where he sees Endo. It wouldn't surprise me if he's sort of one-and-done type one season and done type player at Liverpool. But yeah, I think like you're right. They've got a lot of midfielders. They've got a lot of quality. They just don't really have the right balance. Be interested to see where Thiago plays when he comes back, whether he plays him defensively. Obviously, it might take him a while to get back because he'll have been out for almost a year when he comes back. And he'll only have 6 months left. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see what combination he does play once everyone's fit. But I think slightly worrying is that Szoboszlai hasn't been as good recently, which I think has taken the shine off the midfield. I don't think Jones has been as good since he's come back from injury. So I still think he's looking for the right balance there. And I think that's what's been lacking in recent weeks. And you're seeing the forward line suffer a little bit because they haven't found the right balance in midfield. So, and again, it's not going to be any easier against United because they've got those injuries. And whether McAllister's back for Arsenal is a slight concern because Arsenal, I think their big strength this season has been in midfield. You know, Declan Rice, I think it just goes to show, doesn't it, when you spend big money on a player like Declan Rice, you get what you pay for because he's been brilliant for them. So, yeah, I'm not too sure what the right combination is for Liverpool in there. You know, maybe there's a chance for Elliott to get back in. But, yeah, I would play Endo certainly Sunday, play Szoboszlai. I would probably play Gravenberch, although I'm yet to be convinced fully on Gravenberch and his role in the team. So he needs to settle down a bit in there, and the injuries certainly haven't helped.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, Beth, if they're looking for a midfielder, there's a guy here, what's his name? He's signed for Real Madrid. His name's Bellingham. I'll forever smash my head against the brick wall, wondering why that didn't happen. But it's remarkable, isn't it? But Beth, it is that, isn't it? It's that conjuring act now, isn't it, with the midfield. And Gravenberch, as Joe says, in flashes looks brilliant, very skillful, very quick-footed, and always seems to drive forward. But it's finding that Gravenberch-Gakpo combination, isn't it? Szoboszlai hit the ground running, didn't he? Just hit the ground flying. It seems to be. I don't know whether it's because he's doing more legwork now. He's less chance to impress. I mean, he's known for hitting outside the box. He very rarely does it, does he? He's every time the pitch, the camera goes to him, it looks like he's just been drowned in a bucket of water. So I don't know whether he's just being asked to do four or five different roles, but we're certainly seeing less of an individual, aren't we, with him, and more of a bit of a dog's body, if you like. He's doing three or four different things. But it's just that midfield, Bethany, that we need to get right.
Yeah, I think it is just about finding that balance and making sure that it's a settled midfield. I think with Szoboszlai, I think we're maybe judging him more harshly because of the fantastic start that he made. I think he probably surpassed a lot of people's expectations when he came in. The way that he hit the ground running was probably, you know, looked at in that first month or two of the season like he could be on course to be maybe player of the season, and was absolutely fantastic, got some good goals as well. But yeah, I think like you say, he's struggled to shine as much in the last few games. But I also think that Liverpool collectively as a team, you know, there haven't been too many swashbuckling performances of late. So I think that's maybe an element as well. I think he's still a top player. I think he's still, you know, he's still a young player as well. He's only 20, 22, 23, is he? So he's, you know, he's got, you know, he's still got more levels to go through, more gears to go through. But yeah, I think it's hard to really say sort of what is Liverpool's best midfield three at the moment. I think when everyone's fit, I would like Endo, McAllister and Szoboszlai in there. Like both of you, I think Endo's been unfortunate, really. I don't think he's done too much wrong. I think, yes, he's not going to be a player that Liverpool rely on for years and years to come, but I think he just does his job, doesn't he? And he keeps it simple, and he doesn't need to be fantastic on the ball or doing anything too flashy because he's got players in front of him that can do that. But that being said, actually, I think sometimes we do think of him more as this sort of keeps it very simple, you know, not a very flashy kind of player. But some of his range of passing at times has really impressed me. Obviously, he took his goal fantastically against Fulham the other week as well. I don't see Liverpool probably bringing in another midfielder in January, but I'd like Liverpool to go for João Paulinho at Fulham. I know he's sort of a little bit out of the bracket for what FSG would usually go for in terms of he's a little bit older, he's probably more expensive than what the club would like to pay. But I just think he's that sort of that destroyer kind of player that would really complement, you know, having the likes of McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch in front of him. But yeah, I don't think that one's going to happen. But I think it is just maybe going to be a bit of a trial and error to try and get the balance of that midfield right over the coming months.
Yeah, there was talk of this Andre, wasn't it, from South America, who, you know, won the Trindade, Andre Trindade, is it? And you know, he won the cup for his team, and then was sort of saying all stuff about I'm leaving, but I loved it and stuff. And then Liverpool come out and said we've never mentioned him. And yeah, he seems like one of the players that when people did look into it, he's kind of exactly the kind of player we need. Paulinho is a great shot by Beth. I mean, we looked at him, didn't we, after last season when he was so good, and at the end of the year they were asking 80 million quid for him or something, weirdly, something ridiculous like that. But it's definitely, I definitely feel like we're missing that marauder, aren't we, Joe? We've been spoilt in Liverpool. That's the thing. We've been spoilt over the years, generationally, decade after decade, with your Graeme Souness's and your Steven Gerrard's and your Jimmy Cases, if you like, your Alan Kennedy, your Ray Kennedy's, you know, who pile that ball forward to Steve McMahon. So it's more of a gaping hole, isn't it, in a Liverpool team than any others thing, and it still has yet to be filled, and would have been if we'd have bought that new kid that you signed for Real Madrid. I think his name's Bellingham. It just feels like that's that missing thing, isn't it? That's the pivotal point, the fulcrum, if you like, for moving the club forward.
Yeah, I think they just need that strong presence, don't they, in defensive midfield, who sort of like, I don't know, the Fabinho, for example, at his best, just oozed confidence. You knew that he would cover those small yards and pick up the ball and he had a good range of passing and would get it back to the fullbacks then, you know, and they would get Liverpool back on the attack. And I feel like Endo has that in him, but I just feel like he's slightly off the pace. And you know, it doesn't look quite strong enough maybe for the Premier League. That's why I like Declan Rice so much, because I feel like he backs himself, he uses class, he's tall, strong, wins headers, wins tackles, and just sort of operates in that area where Liverpool lack class. And it would, I think you're right, Beth, I think it would sort of allow Szoboszlai to sort of flourish a little bit more, the same for McAllister. I wonder whether they, certainly at the moment when they've got injuries, could tweak the formation a little bit, play 4-2-3-1. And just give Endo a bit more support, drop Szoboszlai, which was the game. There was a game earlier this season where they dropped Szoboszlai into a two, and he was great. I can't remember what game it was, but I remember them doing that, and Szoboszlai saw a lot of the ball, and I thought he moved it really well. So maybe that's the answer for a little while. But the Andre one, they definitely looked at him in the summer. They realised they couldn't get him then because of the Brazilian season, and whether they've just decided since then that they're not that sure on him, I don't know, but people distancing themselves from him now, which I find is slightly odd because he's still young. He seems to have continued doing pretty well in Brazil. And you would think that you could maybe bring him in and mould him whilst others like Endo continue to get a bit of football. Paulinho, I can understand a little bit more because of, you know, what is he 28, 29, going on 29 and probably would cost 60 to 80 million. I can kind of get their stance on that, but it's definitely a position that I think needs solving. I don't think McAllister's long-term there. Endo definitely isn't long-term. Thiago's contract's running out. And I'm sure they've got high hopes for Pasetic, but with such a bad injury, we just don't know how he's going to come back. So it's definitely somewhere that I think Liverpool could strengthen. I mean, they're in centre-half and you're sort of, Liverpool are in a good place, aren't they? So they've got a couple of clear weaknesses, but they've done well to get round it this season. They deserve credit because we haven't complained too much, but I think injuries are starting to bite now. And I feel like you can see that they're lacking a little bit. And I think Arsenal will be a real test of that because that's where their strength does seem to lie.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, they've really packed the midfield well, haven't they, Arsenal? And Beth, he's right, isn't he? Joe's right. I mean, a lot of players you get from the Bundesliga and they don't really match up to it. The Bundesliga's a slower league, and you get players, you know, you get like Timo Werner, who was flying, wasn't he? Comes to Chelsea, struggles like mad. And then you got Endo. There is a kid, though, who's just recently signed for Real Madrid called Bellingham. Anyway, comedy threes, I'll leave them alone. He's right, though. It's we've got some big games coming up, haven't we? And of course, the big test to Beth is going to be Arsenal, isn't it? And we've got them. We've got them twice in a few days, haven't we? We've got them in the third round of the FA Cup. To ask you now, what would you prefer, going out of the FA Cup to Arsenal and beating them for the league, or beating them in the league position at the moment, or would you prefer losing 3 points and getting past them in the FA Cup? I know what Joe's answer is going to be, but I'll ask you first, Beth.
I'd definitely take going out of the FA Cup and getting 3 points next weekend. I think, you know, this has been sort of the big week that's been on the horizon for Liverpool for quite a while now, isn't it? And I didn't think Liverpool would be in as strong a position as they are. And I think that the positive with that is, you know, if Liverpool do slip up, then still going into Christmas, they will be, you know, in a decent place and in the mix. But I think if they can get two wins against Manchester United and Arsenal, I think Liverpool probably then become favourites to maybe go on and win the league. I think, you know, we've had some disagreements in the Echo offices about where we think Liverpool will finish up this season. Not mentioning any names, but Cough Coffee and Doyle doesn't believe that Liverpool have what it takes to go on and win the league. I disagree. I think, especially with City looking off the pace as they have done at times this season, you know, I still think that they will be bang up there near the end, but I just think this is a real opportunity this season for Liverpool to go on and do something special, and these next two games I think will be huge in that. I think especially with them both being at Anfield, you know, it'll be a real test, and it's a real opportunity. I think when you look back at the season that Liverpool missed out by a point in 18-19, I think one thing that cost them a little bit was that they didn't beat too many of the top six, sort of certainly away from home, and drew a few games at Anfield as well. So I think they need to, if Liverpool want to win the league, they've got to be beating these top teams at Anfield, and I'm hopeful that they will be able to do that over the next week.
Yeah, shocking news. That's shocking to hear that. I mean, not shocking to hear that some people don't think Liverpool are good enough to win the league, but shocking to hear that Ian Doyle's still there. Only messing, Doyle. Joe, I know you're the lover of the FA Cup.
that dusty, decrepit old competition. No, I'd rather Liverpool lose both games to Arsenal and beat West Ham in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. That's the real quiz. No, I agree with Beth. I mean, they've been handed. I think Liverpool in the FA Cup have been really, really unlucky, especially Klopp, hasn't he? You know, he always seems to get, you know, I don't know, who did Man City get? Huddersfield or someone like that. And Liverpool always seem to get a decent Premier League team early doors. And yeah, I think this will be a struggle. But I think if they can beat Arsenal in the league, if they can win the next two games, I think it's massive, because they've won those scrappy ones away from home, and then they'll go into Christmas. And they're going to Christmas top of the league, having beaten, you know, Man United might not be the team they are, but symbolic, you beat them, you perhaps get their manager sacked. Just like in 2018 when they beat Mourinho's United, it was like, boy, and this team is the real deal. And I think it'll feel the same. And then if they can go and beat Arsenal, I think not only will they take a big scalp and beat at the moment their nearest rivals at the top of the league, I think as well it'll say something about Arsenal, because I think the big question mark for Arsenal is whether they can go away to the big teams and take points. And I think until Arsenal answer that question, they certainly won't convince a lot of us, myself included, that they can win the league. So if Liverpool can beat them, it's a sort of double-edged sword for them. They can take that scalp, and they can place doubt into the minds of Arsenal that they're good enough to win the league. I mean, I never thought Liverpool would be good enough to win the league this year. I thought they could get back in it, and I still thought they could finish second or third. I still think Man City will come through. We know what they're like, but I'm absolutely believe it the same as Beth. You know, this is an opportunity, and, you know, I don't necessarily think you go into the league, you know, with... I think what I'm trying to say is that I think the league opens up, doesn't it, as you play. And I think, you know, Man City can get a key injury and suddenly they've gone from being guaranteed to win the league to a bit of a fight. And if things go well for you, opportunities open up. And I feel like so far this season, the opportunity has opened up for Liverpool to go and win this league. And that's why I'd like to see them sign players in January. That's why I'd like to see them really turn the screw in the next few games, because they can put themselves in a great position. They can make themselves believe. And we know at Liverpool, once you get that momentum and once you get the belief among the players and the fans, they're a hard unit to stop, aren't they? So that's massive. So, yeah, I mean, if they can win the league, they can win the League Cup. It could be the greatest season. It could be great if they can get past West Ham as well. So, yeah,
it's,
get
that game. It's no coincidence, is it, that no one's been talking about Liverpool this season. It's all been how mighty Arsenal are. And how I'm surprised Newcastle, they haven't just given them the league.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous. And it's amazing because it's part of that coincidence that means that Liverpool have just snuck there to the top, because when you're not in that public eye like that and people aren't scrutinising everything about you and then building expectation on you, you're just allowed to do your business. If ever the next three games, I mean, West Ham aside for the quarterfinal, but if ever the next three games summed up what Liverpool's, the diversity of what Liverpool's job's going to be, we've got Man United, Arsenal, and then Burnley. And then Newcastle. So if you knock the Man United on the side and the West Ham, Arsenal, Burnley, Newcastle, I mean, they're two games where you have all three of them, you'd expect we'll get a draw at Burnley or something ridiculous like that. It's having that consistency, isn't it, which is what wins your titles. It's knowing that you can go out. I feel like we can go out and do Arsenal. I feel like we can go out and do Newcastle. But something tells me that there's a banana skin with Burnley's name written on it. You know what I mean? It's just that consistency, Beth, in it that's going to win us a title. If we can push on, we've just got to treat every game with the same kind of concentration, the same kind of energy and the same kind of commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I mean, you can fully see Liverpool going and beating Manchester United and Arsenal and then slipping up to Burnley. Is that on Boxing Day, the Burnley game?
Yeah,
26. Yeah, an unwelcome late Christmas present slipping up at Turf Moor. But yeah, I think Liverpool, I think that's why actually as sort of ugly as some of the performances have been in recent weeks, the Sheffield United one in particular, it was really important, because it's shown that this Liverpool side can weather those sort of slightly banana skin kinds of games away to newly promoted sides, and hopefully they'll do that job again against Burnley. And yeah, I think, you know, it is a real bonus, the games against United and Arsenal being at Anfield. I think the Arsenal one in particular, I think last season, obviously when they played Arsenal, Liverpool was sort of, didn't really have a lot to play for, did they? And we sort of at that point knew top four was probably a little bit too far out of reach. But I think that the atmosphere will be completely different this time around, especially if Liverpool beat United. I think it will have all the hallmarks of a top-of-the-table clash, and hopefully Anfield will be sort of at its rowdy, raucous best, and that can help Liverpool get over the line. But yeah, I think that will be a nervy one, I imagine, against Burnley on Boxing Day. You can just see it. I think if Liverpool ends up going and winning that one, it'll be probably some sort of narrow win, but they all count, don't they? And you know, if Liverpool win the next three games 1-0, then I'm not complaining.
Well, and we'll be looking back on the Luton results, won't we? I mean, the Palace results and all these ones where we just nicked it the last couple of... I mean, the Luton one was massive, wasn't it? I mean, let's face it, that was just a remarkable kind of comeback, wasn't it? And to be on the edge of getting beat there, and that was it. Fulham or Luton, I'm talking about. One was 4-3, wasn't it?
I think of Fulham, yeah. Well, to be fair, Luton, they got that late goal, and it was a poor performance, but points like that, you know, they didn't get beat. They didn't get beat, which was important.
Yeah. They're the ones that we're going to look back on. All right, very, very quickly, because we've come to the end of our time. It is full time here at Poetry in Motion. Very quick, Joe Rimmer, give us the Joe Rimmer Man United score, please.
2-0 to Liverpool. 2-0 to Liverpool. Confident.
Beth?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 as well.
Well, I'm going to go 3-0. Not quite as confident as a 7, but as long as you just do the right thing and don't get too gung-ho, we should get through that comfortably. Famous last words. All right. Thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Great to see you. And we'll see you before. Have a fantastic Christmas and New Year, man, with the lovely kids.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
And to you, my friend. And Beth, all the very best to you. I hope the Lurgy is fully behind you come next week. I hope you have a lovely Christmas and New Year. Thanks for coming on board.
Thanks, Fitz. See you too.
Thank you. And to everyone listening once again. And also, I just have to say to Ed Kay as well, who behind the scenes, making sure this thing ticks along with Patrick Smith and a lot of other people who unfortunately are no longer with us, are moving on to hopefully bigger and better jobs. Let's say that. So good luck to you, Ed. Thanks for all your help, pal. And to all of you listening, please keep listening. It's not a podcast without you guys listening, you girls. Please keep supporting all of these podcasts. And have a fantastic Christmas and New Year. All the very best.
You've been listening to the Poetry in Motion podcast on the Blood Red Channel.